And now, Ben Bailey.
There are many members, yet but one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Welcome to our study of the book of 1 Corinthians. Beginning in chapter 11, all the way through chapter 14, Paul is now going to deal with some abuses and the proper uses of things in the assembly and in worship to God. He's going to deal with the Lord's Supper, and he's going to deal with miracles in this subject. He begins in chapter 11 by stating in verse 1, he wants Christians to imitate him as he also imitates Christ. And so Paul sets forth these principles based not on his own authority, but as he imitates and follows the teaching of Jesus. Now, as we deal with items related to worship, one of the first things Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians 11 is honoring the proper role of men and women and Christ in the assembly. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Here's the hierarchy God has set up. But I want you to know, Paul says, that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so imagine in your mind the divine hierarchy, the way God has established things to be. We have God as the head, Christ under him, man under Christ, and woman under man. That's the hierarchy, the system God has set up in the church for authority. God is in complete control as the author of mankind. He's our creator, Genesis 1, verse 1. But God has put his Son in a place of having authority over the church, Matthew 28, verse 18, and over all men as well, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Now, Christ has established man to have authority in the home and in the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 31, we know that man is the head of the home. That doesn't mean he's a dictator. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, so man must love the home and the wife and the children and do what's best for them. Now, under man then, we have woman as well. It's also noteworthy that in the assembly, and especially what we're dealing with in the context, in the assembly, Christ has all authority on matters of doctrine. Man is under Christ and must follow his teaching, and woman is under man in a place of authority. This is seen in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, where Paul said it's not proper for a woman to speak or be a teacher over a man or be in a place of authority, but rather to be in submission. Paul repeats this sentiment in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, when he says that women are not allowed to speak in the church, in the assembly, there to remain silent. And so God has set men up in places of authority, and women have not been given that by God. That's a way God has set things up. And so to understand worship, we've got to understand the authority God has set in place for worship. We've got to worship God in spirit and truth, John 4, verse 24, and we must be willing to honor what God has established in places of authority. Now, one of the things Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians 11, right following verse 3, is the authority of women not bearing authority over men. And he deals with this through the head coverings, having a symbol on their head, showing they are in a place of submission. Women today do that as well by showing that they're not ones to stand up, one to speak. They take a submissive role. Men are the leaders, and thus Paul shows there is a hierarchy, a breakdown to that. Now, in verse 20 following, Paul is now going to deal with the Lord's Supper and how it relates to worship. Notice 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. Paul says this, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, here was an abuse these Christians had of the Lord's Supper. God has set up the Lord's Supper that when we take that, we all come together in one place to partake of that. There is no division. There's not a separate assembly. We're all there together. Now, this is the way Jesus set it up in Matthew 26. All the apostles and he were gathered together and they took at the same time as it was being instituted. Now, friends, this is very important because they were abusing this. We learn in the context that one person was eating ahead of another, one had already partaken of it, another had not yet, and so there was great confusion and discord concerning the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, when you come together, it's not to do this. But from that we learn, we must all come together in one place, and one of the essential elements is to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, friends, there are some very important teachings here. to learn, and that is that we must not divide the assembly. Some people today think it is acceptable to take the children and take them to one part of the assembly during worship, during the worship hour, and that that's okay with God. If Paul said, you've got to come together in one place, he's going to say that again in chapter 13 and 14, then when we worship, God does not intend for us to divide the assembly. There is no authority for doing that, and it is against the clear principles of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. And so children's church, children's Bible hour, you don't find authority for that in Scriptures, and it doesn't meet the burden that Paul places on the church here in verse 20. Now, as he deals with the Lord's Supper, there are some very important things he reminds them of. First of all, he reminds them that this is to be a very reverent act. Notice chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. Paul says in chapter 11, verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One's hungry and others drunk. He said, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Here they were treating the Lord's Supper very irreverently. One was come, he's already drunk, he's full with the Lord's Supper. Another's not yet. They're not waiting on one another. And Paul says, if you want to eat a common meal, you've got houses for that. The Lord's Supper is not a common meal. Don't make it that. You all come together in one place. Now, that's the context here. But friends, we see that it's reverent in the very purpose of it. It was a central part of their coming together. And friend, how important it is that we remain reverent in worship, that we honor God for who He is, that we worship Him according to Spirit and truth, John 14, verse 24, and that we come together to pay honor to what Jesus has done for us. Imagine the chaos this must have been in the first century. All these people coming at different times. And so we learn that it is a very reverent act. Now, here are some practical lessons that relate to that. When it comes to worship and the Lord's Supper, we need to make sure that we respect this as a very important action and a way to remember Jesus' death. That means that we ought not to be making light of that. Talking, laughing, writing notes, playing, or daydreaming, things like that. My friends, they would be just as much condemned as making chaos at the Lord's Supper by not waiting on one another. So it is a reverent act which we need to do with the utmost respect for God. But notice also, Paul sets out the requirements for this act in verses 23 through 25. Notice what he says here. Concerning the Lord's Supper, Paul says this, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup, and Paul says, eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Here Paul sets forth some principles that we need to be reminded of. We are, in principle, to do things the way God has set up. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6 tells us we're not to go beyond what's written. We don't add to or take away from the Word of God, lest he rebuke us, Proverbs 30 verse 6, and we be found a liar. And there has always been the strong command and warning found in example in Scripture of those who perished because they did not do things exactly like God said. Be reminded of the example of Nadab and Abihu. Two young priests, they went to offer sacrifice to God. They used a strange fire, unauthorized fire, which the Lord had not commanded them. And fire came down from heaven and destroyed them. What a small thing, someone say. Well, what does it matter how you light the fire? They still worship God. No, they didn't do it the way God said that they should. And so we must remember that in principle, we must always do things like God has set forth. But also in the practice, we must use the elements that Jesus instituted. The bread represents the body of Jesus, which was broken for us. The cup of the new covenant, the fruit of the vine, represents the blood. Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, speaking of the fruit of the vine, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And so when we meet together, we've got to realize there is a certain way to partake of the Lord's Supper correctly. We need to remember the death of Jesus, Jesus said, you need to do this in remembrance of me. I need to stop and think about all that Jesus did, what he suffered, how he was beaten, how he's laughed at, how he's mocked, how people treated him in ungodly ways. And he did all that so that I could have the hope of one day going to heaven. But as we deal with the Lord's Supper, Paul also touches on the regularity of the Lord's Supper also. Look in verse 26 at what Paul says here. Concerning the Lord's Supper, Paul says this. As often, notice that, as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We learn two elements about the timing, the regularity of the Lord's Supper. It is going to last until the second coming of the Lord. The Lord's Supper was instituted for the church to last until he comes again, until Jesus comes in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 following. But we also notice that there is an oftenness to the Lord's Supper. Paul said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Friends, so many people are confused about when Christians are to partake of the Lord's Supper. In the popular religious world today, many people say, well, it's good to do it on Christmas or Easter. Or some people say, well, we can do it once a month. Has the Bible told us when we are to partake of the Lord's Supper? It sure has. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says they came together, Christians came together on the first day of the week to break bread. Now, how many weeks have a first day? Why, every week has a first day. This is identical language almost to the command found in Exodus 20, verse 8. God said to the people of Israel, you remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Well, how many weeks had a Sabbath? Every week had a Sabbath. Did God say, every week I want you to do this? Not in that immediate context, he didn't. Later he did in Exodus 23. But they interpreted that to mean every Sabbath that comes around, we're to remember it. God has taught us as well, on the first day of the week, every week has a first day, we're to remember the Lord's death. Now, how do we know it's to be every first day of the week? 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. In the original text, the word is, when we come together to give, it is to be on every first day of the week. Now, how many places do you know that don't understand every Sunday, every time we gather for worship on the first day of the week, we are to pass the collection plate and give to God? Well, everybody recognizes that. Same language used in 1 Corinthians 16, also in Acts 20, verse 7. In the first century, they did this every first day of the week. Acts 2, verse 42, they came together, again, to break bread. We should do that as well. Until the Lord comes,